What a special day. Can you believe it? Can you actually believe it? Christmas Day. Yes, somebody's excited. Thank you, Steve. That's great. Oh, it's Andrew. Thank you, Andrew. Steve, you can do it too, of course. It is normally, but you know, I can't see properly, so that's all right. Got lights in my eyes. So what a good idea just to turn to your neighbour and say, Happy Christmas Day. Happy Christmas Day. You could probably turn to your neighbour also and say, Can you believe that it's Christmas Day? Now that you've said Happy Christmas Day, can you believe that it's Christmas Day? It's come up quick. As I look around, there's obviously a lot of families on holiday or sleeping in, or there's many of you watching online this morning. I don't know. But it's nice to be together and to have this day. And so a couple of things I just want to mention to you, that today is also, there's a special offering which we're having, and this offering is our Christmas Day offering for a family in North Africa, one of our missionary families. And, you know, they're doing a work in a country, can't name the country because it's difficult for the work that they do. But it's great for us to be able to support them this Christmas Day. So if you do have offering for Christmas Day today, the box at the back, there's a table at the back in the box. You can put your offering in there, or there's even, you can tap a card to put your offering through the system, the Zelle machine. So you're welcome to do that as well. There's also a few items on a table at the back there that if you would, for gifts, there's a few CDs and some books, child's book that my father wrote, and some CDs that Helen has put together. So if you would like to have one, you're welcome to take that as a gift as well. And there will be a gift at the end of the service, which the kids and adults will be so excited about. And we'll talk about that a bit later on. So what I'd like to do now is lead us in a time of prayer now, and ask for the Lord to be with us and his blessings this day as Christmas Day. So please feel free to close your eyes and bow your heads as we move into a time of prayer. And as I do so, we'll ask the worship team to come up and lead us in some songs of today through worship. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your blessings. Lord Jesus, what a day. A day for us to remember your birth. A day for us to remember that you left the glories of heaven and came here to earth as a lowly child, born humbly to a quiet and poor family, and yet giving up your glory in heaven to do so, to show us how to live, to show us how to understand what life is about, to come and reveal that you are a king and yet lowly. Thank you, Jesus. You deserve to sit on the throne of heaven. You've earned that right through who you are and what you did. So we thank you for that. We thank you for you coming to us and guiding us and strengthening us. We pray, Lord, that this day is a day of remembrance of what you've done, that this day is recognizing the gift you've given. This day is a day of celebration in who you are. I also want to recognize that for some of us, today may be a bit difficult. Today we may be far from family and friends. Some of us may be in a place of grief. Some of us may find it difficult to be with family and friends, or even a little bit anxious on this day. So we pray, Lord, that we bring all this together, Please, Lord, remove our anxieties and fears and bring all this together so we can come to you in a place of worship, recognizing your wonder, your majesty, what you've done, and in song to sing and know the words that we're singing of your majesty and your beauty. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Good morning and Merry Christmas, everyone. My name's Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here as well. And this morning we're going to sing some songs that speak of the time of year and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in church, we stand together and we sing. And if you would like to do that with us, I invite you to do that together as we start to sing. If you're not able to stand or for whatever reason, that's fine. You're welcome to stay in your seats and sing along with us. If you'd like to, the words will be up on the screen. So I'm just going to invite you to stand with me as we sing some songs about Christmas and about our Lord Jesus.
Echo back, let your
This is a great opportunity for you if you would like to speak out a praise, a word of praise to our Lord, a thankfulness to Jesus. I'll leave it open to you if anybody has it on their heart to speak out loud a praise to Jesus. You're welcome to do that now.
Praise you, Lord, that you are the reason. Thank you if you give anything else with this, buddy.
Lord Jesus, our opportunity through song, through worship, is to recognize your incredible grace and mercy over us. Thank you for being who you are and the gift that you are to us this Christmas. Thank you that we can praise you and worship you. And for those here this morning, not so sure about who you are, I pray, Lord, that there'll be a moment of clarity. Maybe an aha moment for those who are here this morning to hear your word and to meet you maybe in a new way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. For the children, Jasper, also I need the screen here. For the children here this morning, if there's a few clipboards at the back, if they feel like going out and grabbing one, to do that. That would be great if they could do that right now. Parents may be grateful for the clipboards as well. As some of you may be aware, our theme for this Christmas is Back to the Future. Some of you may be thinking, hey, Back to the Future, what do you mean by that? Like the movie, Back to the Future? Some people driving past may have seen the signs and thought, oh, these guys are putting Back to the Future on for church today. Not the case. This is our theme, Back to the Future. If you look at the set up here, you'll see by the design of the picture, we understand Jesus being born in a quiet, almost like a stable place. And then we also see him on the throne. So a lowly child and also a king. And coming through time to see that coming through. So the thinking of Back to the Future, going back to see the future. And we're going to look at that in Scripture in a moment, but just to give you an idea of the script, how many of you have seen this movie called Back to the Future? Who actually knows it, right? Okay. Last night I asked some questions to go with the movie, and there was one particular person I won't name, her name I think was Robin, but I won't name Robin. She knew most of the answers, which is quite amazing. But the story, if you're not aware of it, is Marty McFly has a crazy friend called Doc Brown. And somehow, through, you know, working things out, Doc Brown creates this time machine car. Marty McFly ends up in 1955 as a 17-year-old boy. And how the plot of the movie plays out is a lot to do with him meeting his own parents, but before they were together. And then he realizes in the plot that if they don't get together, he might actually be there. See how the scenario can go really strange, you know? Going back in time, playing with time can be a real problem. But when we look at the scripture, we've got to look at what God has done through time and coming through. So I have some questions for you, just out of curiosity, all right? So there's a clock tower in the movie, all right? Who has any idea about the amount of gigawatts that were needed for the power to work correctly in time? Oh, there's some hand up there. 1.21. Oh, very good. 1.21 gigawatts. And what sort of machine was used? What was the machine that was used? Yeah, go for it. Flux capacitor. Oh, he's got two. And probably the easiest one out of them all, and I probably don't even have asked the question, but what speed was the exact speed for? Yes, bingo, 88 miles per hour. Okay. Very well done. You get an extra gift at the end, if you like. That's fine. Now, why am I bringing these together? Is because God's timing is a perfect timing. In the movie, these all had to come together. The timing, the power, the flux, the speed, everything had to happen for this shift in time. But we find the finger of God throughout history. The finger of God coming into our world, into humanity, into our timeline, and presenting moments in time that were significant through our history. God's timing is perfect, even though we might not think that. God's timing is perfect. When he decides something to take place, he will put it in place. And our understanding through the Bible is God's timing with presenting Jesus through prophecy and then Jesus coming at a time in history was God's perfect timing. And we need to understand what that means and how that looks. So we're going back to the future. So I'm going to present a group of slides, and one will be presenting the going back to the prophecy and then looking at the future of the prophecy fulfilled. And I'm concentrating on Jesus, the prophecies about Jesus and then them being fulfilled. And we're going to look at that coming through. And that's why we're looking back to the future, back to the future, what happened and how it played out. So we begin with a descendant of Abraham would bless all people. And so going back 1,800 years before the birth of Jesus, not 10 years, not 100, not 1,000, but 1,800 years, there was a time when Jesus said to Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So how is that fulfilled? In the future, we see Jesus fulfilling this prophecy in Matthew 1:1. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, meaning the Saviour, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So through Abraham's lineage, we find the blessing of Jesus. Then this Messiah would come from the house of David. So the lineage of David, David's one of Abraham's children coming through. So we go back and we look at this. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king, who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. Jeremiah writes that. And in fulfillment of this prophecy, that was given 600 years before. And then the angel Gabriel came to tell Mary, in the future, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Notice the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So that's not only the future, but that's the future future. So let's look at the next one. And this Messiah, this Saviour, be born of a virgin. So back in about 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah said this, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Isaiah wrote that 700 years before. Then we find Gabriel the angel. He told Mary that she would give birth to a son and then reassured Joseph of this prophecy in a dream. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's got to be reassuring to Joseph. She will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. There's the prophecy that's coming through. Again, a future future. He will save his people from their sins. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Another prophecy. We go back to Micah. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Notice this, the origins are from old, from ancient times. Before Jesus was born, we find Caesar Augustus issuing a decree demanding a census. This required every citizen to register in the town of their family of origin. So, what's the future on this? So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first son. Now, we've just been looking at back prophecy about Jesus' birth and future of his birth taking place and the prophecies around that. I also just want to concentrate just really quickly on the prophecy of his death and the fulfillment of that as well. The Messiah would be led to the cross. 700 years before his death on the cross, Isaiah told the story of the lamb to be led to the slaughter. So we see this in Isaiah 53. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and his wound, by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. So we see that Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Then we find in John 1, John the Baptist making a public declaration. He says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him. He says, "Look, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." If you can get your head around that, that's great. "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," that prophecy that Jesus would be the Lamb to take our sins away. Then we find King David writes a prophetic psalm about the death of the Messiah. We find that in Psalm 22. It says this, "Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display and people stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." That's going back to that psalm. And then we find Matthew writes about the event that David prophesied about earlier. Matthew writes this, "And when they had crucified him," meaning they pierced his hands and his feet, "they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there." Now we look at these prophecies. So we go back in those prophecies to see the future, how they were all fulfilled. There's something powerful about that. The promises of God through his prophecies fulfilling and coming to that point where they actually happened in the future at that time. Now, you may be saying, "Yeah, Pastor Ben, you're talking all about history. Even when you look at that back and future, you're still talking about 2,000 years ago. So, Pastor Ben, what does that mean for me today? How does that work for me today? You talk about back and to the future. What about my future? How does that work for me? Well, I'd like to jump a little bit here in time. Not a big jump, but thought this picture was good to jump in time, to jump into what's next. Because there's prophecy in the Bible that is future for each one of us. But we have to go back in time to see those prophecies that were given so that we can look at the future for each one of us. So in some ways, I'm calling it future. So let's look. See, Jesus spoke to his disciples and he gave them a promise. In John 14, Jesus gives this promise. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that? I am going there to prepare a place for you." See this promise coming through? "I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Not only that, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and you will be with me that you also may be where I am." Jesus is now making a promise for the future. Now he's talking to his disciples, but it's also for us. Jesus is going to prepare a place for you and I. How good is that? Are you a little bit excited? A little bit? Just a little bit? It is Christmas. Jesus offers a gift of coming to take you to be with him. And then the angels made a promise. Says in Acts, they were looking intently up into the sky. Who was that? The disciples were looking intently in the sky. Jesus has been killed on the cross, risen again from the dead, has visited them a number of times, and now it's time for Jesus to go up to heaven, a bodily rise. They're looking intently up into the sky as he was going, as Jesus was going up to heaven. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them, said, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky?" What's their promise? "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you see him going into heaven." Doesn't say might come back. These are angels saying, you will see him come back. He will come back in the same way that you see him going to heaven. And then John, the disciple John, sums it up in the great book of Revelation. These are the words. Look, these are the words of Jesus. "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Amen. "Look, I am coming," says Jesus. "I am the Alpha, the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and I am the last, the beginning and the end. I am coming back." How does that sit with you? If the promises in the Old Testament are fulfilled in the New Testament, and the promises in the New Testament haven't yet been fulfilled for us today, we should be excited about what's coming up. Because if they were fulfilled in the old and we see them coming to fruition, even though they seemed impossible, things like virgin birth and angels visiting and things like that, if that happened and there's witnesses to see it happen, then the promise for us this Christmas is to recognize by looking in back, we can see the future, the promise of Jesus coming back, a gift for each one of us.
So we've gone back so we can look at the future. But now I want to ask you a question. Have you ever lost anything? I mean, really lost something. I find that I tend to lose things on a fairly regular basis, as Ben will testify to, particularly keys, phone, wallet, you know, just some of those important things. No, I haven't lost my husband. My husband's lost me, but that's a whole nother story for another day, if you haven't already heard it. But you know that if you've lost something, what do? You want to retrace your steps. You go back and you think, where have I been? And you think about the things you've done in the past so you can retrace your steps and find what was important and find what was lost. One of my grandchildren recently lost something important to them. It was their soft, cuddly toy. Now, this cuddly toy wasn't just lost under the bed or in the backyard. This comfort toy was lost on a holiday, several hours away. Can you imagine the distress of the child, the parents, realizing when they've got home that that comfort toy is no longer there? And the searching that people go through. And not only did the child and the parents look for said comfort toy, but then when they phoned the place where they had been and the owner of that house had to search through every door and every cupboard and under every bed to find something important. So that little cuddly toy was on an adventure and then was returned by the postman. You see, when we lose something important, we go to great depths and lengths to find it and have it returned to us. We go back to the past and make sure it comes back to us. But what about when we feel lost inside? What about when we feel broken? Or if we've got a sickness or a disease or an addiction or a heartbreak or a sadness or a grief? So often we go back and think about, when did that start? When did that happen? And if we perhaps get some counselling, that's often one of the questions that we look at. We retrace our steps, we go back to our childhood and other things in our family of origin and begin to look at what patterns have been set up to perhaps find us where we are today. So looking at our past is important. Going back is often important to find out the meaning of things, to find things that are precious. And so today Ben's been showing us why it's important to go back and look at what's been said about Jesus to know the truth of what's important and precious to us. You see, Jesus is not a myth. He's not a fairy story. He's truth. His reality. Prophecies have been written about him. There's archaeological evidence. There's geological evidence. There's places in history, there's places today that bear testimony to the truth of who Jesus was and is. There are libraries full of people who have been radically changed because they've given their life to Jesus. Supernatural stories of people who've encountered Jesus in miraculous ways. We have hospitals and schools and universities and churches and cathedrals because people have encountered Jesus. You see, when we encounter Jesus, we have something sweet. It's a precious gift that defies time, and we are forever changed by it. We have a lot of things that we look forward to at Christmas, and one of them is often food. And I'm quite sure that a lot of you have some very sweet food in your fridges. And yet the sweetest thing that you can have is the truth of God. Psalm 119 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So Every Easter and Christmas and often the New Year too, we like to give a gift as a reminder of what we've been talking about, what our theme has been. Can anyone spot what our gift might be? It's a candy watch. And it's a reminder that today we've been talking about time. It's a reminder that we have to go back to the past sometimes to see the truth of who Jesus was and is coming to be. It's also a reminder that Jesus for us can be a sweet gift. It says in Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the greatest gift of all. I don't know what's under your Christmas tree or what gifts you've already been given, past or present, but I can tell you that the greatest gift that you can ever receive is the gift of Jesus. Now, I've made some great confessions from this place right here, and I'm about to give you one more. I really like to throw things away. I mean, I like tidying up, and in my cleaning up and chucking things, sometimes I throw away things which are actually important. And there has been several occasions where I've had a card which has had a gift card in it or money in it, and I've actually thrown away the gift card and the money with the card. You see, while the card may not have been very important, although the gesture definitely was from anyone here that that may have happened to, sometimes because it's a smallish gift and it doesn't seem big, we can overlook it and toss it aside. Don't do that with Jesus this year. Just because he seems small or insignificant, he definitely isn't. He is the most valuable thing, greater than gold, greater than a gift card, greater than any value of money. Don't do what I've done in the past and accidentally throw something of great value away. The greatest thing that you can have this Christmas is the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. And if you don't know him or if you've wandered away from him, we would truly love to pray with you, because I want to assure you with absolute certainty that when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, it's the best thing you can ever do, and it will change your life. And it will guarantee you of a beautiful new future, a relationship with God, a new peace that passes understanding sometimes, and eternal life forever with Jesus Christ. So let me pray. Father God, we are so grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ, who was born in a lowly manger, not to great fanfare, not in a palace, but in a humble, dirty stable. And Lord, we want to thank you that you see us too, that our circumstances are not always noble, important, or significant. And yet in our lowliness, you see us too. And you know that the greatest gift that we can receive is the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have shown that so clearly through Jesus, through his life on earth, through his death, through his resurrection, and for the promise of that, he's yet to come again. Thank you that through the gift of Christmas, we can have the promise of eternal life when we truly believe in him with all of our hearts. God, May this Christmas we be reminded afresh of the importance of who Jesus truly is and not just toss it aside, but look back at what perhaps has been lost and reclaim it for ourselves that we might feel whole, complete in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Ben and Helen. The band and I are going to play a song now as a time for reflection. You've heard about who Jesus is today, and this song speaks about who he is. And I invite you to sit, and the words will be on the screen, to just listen and to ponder in your own heart. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you today? So I just invite you, if you want to sing along with us, you can. The words are up there, but please remain seated. And reflect on who is Jesus to you.
This King of glory that pursues me with his love and haunts me with the cheering of his softly spoken words. My conscience a reminder of forgiveness that I need. Who is this King of glory who offers it to me? Who is this King of angels, O blessed Prince of Peace, revealing things of heaven and all its mysteries? My spirit's ever longing for his grace in which to stand. Who is this King of glory, Son of God and Son of
We've got one more song to sing together as we close our service this morning, and the invitation is open. If you would like to know more about Jesus, or you would like someone to pray with you this morning, then please come and see Ben and Helen or myself, or come out the front and we'd love to pray with you at the end of the service. I hope you've had a great Christmas morning. I hope this day is full of the love and joy of and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you know him even deeper today. I invite you to stand with us, and we're going to close with this song together this morning.
Forevermore, forevermore, and he
and he shall reign forevermore. Amen. Exciting that he's reigning, because we need someone to reign in this world, because the world's a mess at the moment. We need to have Jesus in the midst of it all. Hey, look, if the message has challenged you or you thought a bit more, maybe this Christmas is time for a declaration or a change in your life journey, and you need to accept Jesus. Yeah. And we love to pray with you out the front to do that. The gifts, there's a container out the front here with the candy watches. There's two out the back as well. You're welcome to take them. Parents, observe the children with them, and if you'd like them not to have them, that's your parental decision. And you guys can work through that, especially coming into the hype of Christmas. And adults, of course, they're for you as well, for all ages. And maybe if any of the adults, sometimes you can just take one, even though you might not want it. You might know somebody who would like one, and you can tell them why you're giving them to them. Also, I just want to say thanks to the team for Christmas, the work that they've put in, they've done yesterday and today. The set's all here. You're welcome to come and take a photo if you like, but we don't want children to come up because some things are a bit flimsy. So you're welcome to come and take photos if you like to do that too. Alisma, happy Grandmother Day. You've had a Christmas present early. First time grandmother with a little one. So congratulations, Alisma, and just a blessing. Don't forget, the offering box at the back is also for our offering this year for a family that's in North Africa and doing mission work, and just to support them this time. Now I'm going to pray for a blessing. Did I miss anything, Helen? No? We're good? All right. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that today is a day of celebrating your birth. The power and the glory and the majesty of you, Lord Jesus, to be again brought to our hearts and minds of who you are and what you've done. The prophecies of you coming, you actually coming, and the death that you died and the resurrection that you gave is a gift for each one of us again today to be reminded that you have prepared a place for us and you're coming to take us back when your timing is right. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing us. May your grace be upon us, Lord Jesus. May your face shine upon us, and may your peace be with us in this day. Thank you for all you have done. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Child is born, the King.